guys, it's Chad. Hope this message finds you guys doing well. Hope you guys have had an opportunity to get out when the sun is out and that you're able to get all your homework done so you can enjoy some of this extra time that you guys would have. And I hope that you guys aren't getting stuck inside too much and getting bored with that. Before we get started with this, let's get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to get together. We thank you for this time where we have a little bit more time on our hands, and we just ask that you help us to find more ways to spend time with you and help us to be helpful in our community. We just ask, according to your will, that we meet back together when it's your time, Lord, and we just ask that you help us to find ways to do good things. Lord, we just love you so much. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, as always, before we get started, we're going to start with a song. So if you can go ahead and pause me, hit video one and listen to that song, and then we'll come back and get started. All right, guys, just want to give you a quick update before we get started with this on meeting. The elders have met at the church, and we've decided to start getting back together on May 24th. So that's going to not this Sunday, but the Sunday after that. And we will not, just so you guys know, it's going out in a letter and an email, so your parents and stuff will know, but we will not be having junior church. We will not be doing anything on Wednesdays yet. We won't be having any Sunday schools or anything like that. We're just going to have one service, starts at 10 a.m., and it's going to be in the auditorium, so you'll have to sit with your parents and listen to that. But it'll be good to get back into church and to see you guys face-to-face again, so I hope to see you guys then. So today I want to talk about kind of the difference between why and how. And I think it's going to be important as we continue to develop and kind of grow spiritually and kind of mature in that is to learn how to use the both of them wisely. So, but why do we ask why so much? I know when I was a kid, I would sit there and every time my parents would say, you know, go upstairs and get a shower. Why? You know, go in and, you know, feed the dog. Why? Why do I have to do it? You know, it's always asking why. But I want to take that a step further than just asking why in general, because why helps us understand and gain some knowledge and insight. But I want to take that a step further. Why do we ask God why so much? You know, do we believe that the answers will provide us with some sort of contentment or satisfaction? You know, questions can be very helpful in communicating our frustrations, expressing our feelings, or getting us in a good state of contemplation. But we need to understand their role in our brokenness and how to use them to our benefit when talking to God. You know, we belong to an approachable God who loves hearing our questions. Our questions are important to him, and the scriptures are full of hurting people asking questions. You know, look at the Psalms. You know, you guys, I've told you guys a bunch that David's one of my favorite characters, and David wrote many of them in Psalms when he was broken. You know, he asked some very painful and intimate questions. You know, sometimes David got answers, sometimes he got silence. But even when David's questions weren't answered, his faith in God was stronger than his need to know. So just like David, my why questions, they allow me to go before God and pour out my heart to him. They help me process what I am going through. So what are some of your why questions? You know, have you ever talked to God about them? You know, over the past several weeks that we've been doing this, I've encouraged you guys to get your journals out and do a journal and write in there. So I want you guys to, if you are doing a journal, open it up and what are some of your why questions? Write them down, you know, and we can talk about them when we finally do get back together. You know, it's important to know that nowhere does the Bible promise us that all our questions will be answered. God doesn't even promise that our stories will make sense. You know, for me, I find a sense of peace in owning my own why questions. But at the same time, I've found out that the longer I focus on them, the less progress I make. I spend so much time repeating my same questions, like, why, God, why did you take this from me? Or why did you take that from me? Or why did you let this happen? Or why are you letting this happen? I find that I start repeating the same questions and focusing on specific answers, and I start to believe that maybe God isn't even hearing me. And I'm doing that to myself, because we know that God hears us. You know, but there is an alternative. And the disciples of Jesus, they asked, why was this man born blind? You know, in this question, they were asking why for all of us because we didn't understand that in the story. But in his answer, Jesus didn't respond directly to the why. Instead, he changed the why question to a how. And we see that story in John 9, 1 through 7. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to get them out and turn to John. Now there's John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to go to the very first one. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John 9, 1 through 7. And it reads, as John was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he, Jesus, spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. See, guys, like the disciples, we ask why. They did too. So there's nothing wrong with the why question. But Jesus, he switches it up on us. He asks how. You know, we ask, why did this happen? Jesus asks, how might my Father's glory be displayed through this situation? You know, the answer to why doesn't help us heal. But knowing that God's glory can be displayed even in the brokenness of our lives gives us hope despite our circumstances. We will find more joy in our life if we set aside the why and begin to ask the how. How does my story fit into God's greater story of redemption? Even when we can't immediately see how our story fits into God's story of redemption, Scripture promises that it always does. So I'm going to read something a little bit longer. And so I want you guys to bear with me. But if you want to follow along, you can turn to Romans 8, 18 through 39. So go right in your Bible and towards the back of the book from John and go to Romans 8, 18 through 39. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, or we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they've already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And this is important, guys. Let me read that part again, starting in verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? Now listen to this, guys. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding with us. Interceding means going out ahead of us and working for our good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these times, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen to this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, isn't that a cool passage? I know it was long and I hope you hung in there, but that is so cool. You know, but see, even though we're told in that passage, remember I pointed you guys, we're told in that all things work together for good, as verse 28 does. Sometimes, guys, I don't know about you, but it's a good that I sometimes just don't understand because I'm looking at it from my own perspective, not God's. And we've talked several times down in the youth center about perspective and how it helps shape us. And see, when I look at things through my perspective, not God's, I don't really understand. Because I don't get it. And God says that we don't have to necessarily get it. You know, and without seeing from God's perspective, I can't answer how that story or any other story fits into his overall story. So I want to give you guys some examples of some really good how questions. All right. So they would go something like this. How might God use my current circumstance to reveal something about himself? So, how might God use this coronavirus to reveal something about himself? How might God use this stay-at-home initiative where I'm home a lot more and I'm not at school, I'm not around my friends, to reveal something about himself? That's what current circumstance means. Another one, how might God use our current chaos to make us into a person who walks by faith, not by sight? You know, I ask you guys this question a lot. What is faith? Faith is believing in something we don't see. That's why it's faith. We believe it's there. Do you see oxygen? No. But you know it's there because you're breathing. So that is a great example of evidence that there are things that exist that we don't see. Faith is something that we don't see, but we just believe in. And that is something as we continue to grow and develop as young people, and as we get older, that we're going to have to carry and strengthen, because the older you get, the bigger the arguments come from people that don't believe the same thing we do. And here's one last question that I think that I ask myself this sometimes quite a bit. How might God make this mess a message? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get myself in some pretty decent messes. And if I look at it as a mess, if I look at it as bad, then I'm going to, if my perspective is negative, then I'm going to see everything as bad. I'm going to see everything as I just don't get it. It's just a mess. But if I can get some God insight, get some God perspective, if I can get some God goggles and put them on, I can ask myself, how might he actually take this mess that I see and actually turn it into a message for him? You know, maybe, just maybe, changing our questions around a bit might help us to change our perspective. Perspective, guys, it's the key to trusting God. And so often the clarity we need to see things from God's perspective happens in the wilderness experiences we all wish we could avoid. So just remember, guys, during these difficult times, that there is an invisible and gentle current, a movement in each one of our lives that can peacefully carry us to happiness and to heaven. It is always there for us. Whenever we want to let go and trust the way, even in what might appear as the worst of times, that stream is flowing and can carry us to all things blessed. We can trust that we are being cared for, that our eternal happiness is the most important thing to God, or that he has in mind for us, and that all of creation flows towards that end. It is our choice is to believe this, accept it, and freely choose it. So that way we can wade into that stream and relax and just enjoy the ride of being a Christian and being a God follower. Well, as always, guys, there's a song at the end here. So go ahead and pause me. Let's listen to video 2 and then come back and we'll end in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for everything. We thank you for the words you have for us. We thank you so much for the Bible. It was written so long ago, but it is so relevant to today. And we just ask that as we continue to grow as young people, that you give us the vision that we need to find the things in the Bible. Give us the ways to adapt our lives and to change our hearts and our minds towards people so we're kind, so that we're loving and compassionate, and that we can be as close to Christ-like as we possibly can. Keep us healthy, keep us safe, and help us, Lord. Please just help us to get back to church and to get to a part where we can start growing in you and just setting this community of East Palestine on fire for you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. All right, guys, remember, I'll see you guys May 24th. Come to church at 10 o'clock. That's when the church starts. You'll be going in. There's no going downstairs. We'll just be up in the sanctuary, but at least we'll be together. At least we'll be able to see each other. We'll air high five. There's no touching. We'll be wearing masks, and that's okay because we're in God's house again, finally. So I look forward to seeing you guys then. Be safe.
Thanks for listening. We're not currently meeting together because of the coronavirus outbreak. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast to get all of our online services and daily devotions delivered right to your phone. You can find us in iTunes and Google Podcasts or listen online at www.cocep.org. Have a great week.